Oh, yeah. Let me take that one. All right, we're gonna do this together, so. All right, thank you very much. thank you. As we get started here, if you guys could open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, and that's where we're going to be reading from. My name is Keith Klein, and this is my daughter, Emma. I love her very much. And my daughter, Aiden, right here. And we're going to be talking about the communion this morning. And when Corey initially asked us if we would do this, Emma and I decided that we would we try to find a text to read or a book to read that would really help us dive into the topic, you know, deeply. And what we found was something that's a little heady and a little, you know, it took a lot of effort on my part to really try to understand and everything, but I think we've been able to extract something that hopefully is helpful. So we're going to do our best to kind of walk everybody through it, and I hope that that we can do a good job of helping you understand. So Emma's going to introduce the book and then talk to us a little bit about it.
Good morning. So the book we're going to be looking at today is the children's book, You Are Special. And this is a book from my childhood, and I hold it very dearly to my heart. So this book is about a town of wooden people called Wemix. And they all have one creator, the wood maker, the wood carver, Eli. And in this town, each Wemix had two boxes. One box had star stickers, and the other box had dot stickers. They put these stickers on each other. The star stickers are for when you look really nice, you have a really good talent, or you just do things that people overall like. And then you get a dot if you don't look very good, if your paint is chipping, and if you make any mistakes, you get dots. So our story follows our little friend here, Punchinello. Look at the poor guy. He only had dots. Yeah. No one ever gave him any stars. He would wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and just see a bunch of dots on him. So he was so discouraged by that. And so he would only hang out with people with dots, and the star people would only hang out with people with stars. Then one day, Punchinello met a girl named Lucia, and he was like, "Hold up, where are your stickers?" And she said, "They fall off of me. They don't stick." And she told him that he went to go see the woodcarver, Eli, every day, and she encouraged him to do so as well. And so he was really wrestling with it, do I go, do I stay? And he ultimately decided to stay, not to stay, to go. That would be bad if he stayed. So I'm going to start reading where Punchinello first meets Eli. Punchinello walked up the narrow path and stepped into Eli's shop. His eyes grew big. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on tiptoe to see the top of the workbench. Punchinello swallowed hard. "I'm not staying here." Then he heard his name. "Punchinello?" The voice was deep and strong. "How good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you." Punchinello looked up. "You know my name?" "Of course. I made you." Eli picked him up and set him on the bench. "Looks like you've been given some bad marks," said the maker. "I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard." "Punchinello, I don't care what the other Wemix think." "You don't?" "No, you shouldn't either. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think. And I think you are pretty special." Punchinello laughed. "Me? Special? Why? I'm not very talented, and my paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you?" Eli spoke very slowly. "Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me." Punchinello didn't know what to say. "Every day, I've been hoping you'd come," Eli explained. "I came because I met Lucia," said Punchinello. "Why don't the stickers stay on her?" The maker spoke softly. "Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what others think. The stickers only stick if you let them." "What?" "The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take time. For now, come see me every day, and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as Punchinello was leaving, you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart, he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. So reading the story, I felt very called out. So I grew up in this church. I've been going here since I was 5, and I've had a lot of my friends go here around the same age as I did. And I grew up with them here, but I wasn't as involved. I never went to Awana on Wednesdays. I never went to midweeks until high school. A lot of my friends went to private Christian schools where they were exposed to God's word every day. It was a part of their curriculum, and I went to normal public school. And I felt a little unworthy of God's love. Because growing up here, that being the norm of going to those places, going to Awana, having all that, I felt like, am I doing enough? Am I really on like the right path that I need to be to earn God's love? And so I was putting all these dots on me. I was putting so many stars on my friends here. And I felt out of place. But as I studied the Bible, getting baptized in May, I started realizing having knowledge when you're younger, your upbringing, all of that does not matter. It's important. It's great if you learn all that stuff when you're young, but all that matters is having faith in God's love and having faith in Jesus' sacrifice. Because that is what truly, truly matters. That's why we're all here. And of course, I still have a bunch of dots on me. I still have stars, but I still have dots. And it's never gonna stop. You always have to go to God every day. Because remember, Lucio went to God every single day. So she can be reminded that she is special. So that's all I have. I'm going to turn it over to my super awesome dad, too.
So that's a really relatable story, isn't it? I remember when Aiden was born, Melinda, at the time, Hurst, is she here today? I don't know. Okay. So what was that? Now is Zegedy, yes. It was Hurst at the time, yes. But she gave us this book when Aiden was a baby, and I remember reading it for the first time to her, and I just was like, I was almost in tears, you know, because it's been something that's been kind of a running theme in our family ever since that time. So I'll have to make sure that Melinda knows that had a huge impact on our family. Let's read real quick in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, and then I want to talk a little bit about this story and how it affects me as an older, I was not baptized in May. I was baptized many more years ago. So in chapter 5, verse 6, it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I remember as a young Christian, I was in college, and I was a young man, and I probably needed some humbling in many ways. But a lot of times in reading this scripture, and when we would talk about the scripture, I would view the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and the intense torture that he went through as an expression of how sinful and how unworthy of God's love that I am. And there's value in that. I mean, I think it is important for us to understand God's worthiness compared to our unworthiness. But what that can also do is lead to a life where I am constantly trying to figure out things where, you know, God did so much for me, I should try to repay him with all of this that I can do. Or God made this incredible sacrifice for me. Surely I can deny myself and do these things for him. It became something where I would look at the sacrifice and look at my life and try to make up for that sacrifice. And although I wouldn't say it out loud, in practical terms, and I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, whether you're a young Christian or an older Christian, but a lot of times coming to the cross, I would come in shame because no matter how hard I tried to do the right thing, I would always fail. And what that can do is create a cycle where, you know, if you feel like you're failing all the time, it starts to take your will away a little bit. And I could find myself at times when I'm focused on trying to do enough, I start losing my will and I end up doing worse spiritually. It's a really weird thing that it happens that way. But I think now that when I look at the cross, I look at it in a very different way. Because I think there's a very big difference between being worthy of something and being worth something. Those are two very, very different words, but they only differ by one letter. And does anybody here remember Beanie Babies at all? You do? Where's Dusty? Because is he in here? Over here? Okay. So I hope it's okay that I share this, but Dusty, when Dusty and I were in college, Dusty and I worked at the mall together at a store called Boo Hoodles. And we actually sold Beanie Babies. That was one of the big things that we did. And whenever the shipment would come in, does anybody remember what that was like at the mall? Like, it was insane. We'd be there at the register, and we'd have a line that literally went around the entire store. It would go out, and this is not an exaggeration. It would go out the door. It would go down the hall on the second floor, around the railing, and it would be like an hour and a half wait or a 2-hour wait just to buy a $5.50 doll. Which was crazy. But the fun part of it was there was a black market for that as well. And so, I don't know, did anybody buy one for an exorbitant amount of money that they want to share at all? You did? Okay. Are you okay sharing what the most you paid for one is? Okay. Right. I remember I sold one to my to the owner's brother. I think I wanted to take Julie out on a date, so I took I sold one for $90, and I took that and I took Julie out. I looked up online, and last year, believe it or not, in 2022 in November, there was a registered sale on eBay for a Princess Beanie Baby that sold for $20,000. That's insane, okay? But you know, and there's lots of things that people, you know, some of you grew up collecting baseball cards. Now you've got these non-fungible tokens, which I don't even understand how you pay money for something that's electronic. You know, but people will pay money for those, for all of those things. But the bottom line is that the value of something is really determined by what somebody is willing to pay for it, right? And if somebody wants to pay $20,000 for a Beanie Baby, then all more power to them. But what that does for me when I look at the cross is I look at the price that God was willing to pay for me. And when I view the cross in that way, I start to see the cross not as an expression of how sinful I am or how unworthy I am, but I see the cross as an expression of how much value God puts on me and how much value God puts on each one of us. And it really changes the dynamic of my relationship with God. I think that the cross, the story of the cross is intended to scream out over generations, you know, where God just kind of giving us he kind of reaches through the spiritual world and gives us a living, breathing, tangible, undeniable example of how much value and love he has for us. And that is the anchor that we can always go to no matter what we're going through in our life. And now when I look at the cross, I see that as a reason, and I'm convinced to trust God and to trust his love and to trust his purposes. When I think of trust, I want to tell just one more really quick story. I have a little nephew named Miles that I love and adore. I went golfing with my brother and both of my nephews. And Miles is always, we had kind of a special connection. He would always ask me to throw him in the air and then catch him and throw him as high. He's like, higher, higher, you know, and I would always catch him. So we're golfing. And I don't know how many of you have been on a golf course, but for a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old, the best part of it is driving the cart, right? So, but the only problem is that when you drive a golf cart on the golf course, it has a governor on it, so we'll never let you go like full speed. You know what I mean? That's always kind of disappointing. So, we're in the cart, and I look at Miles, and we're about to go down this big hill that's got kind of a winding path, and I'm like, this is perfect. He's going to love this, you know. So I look at him. I said, Miles, are you ready to go? And he said, yeah. You know, he's like, let's do it. So I start going, and I go down the hill, and I take this long right turn, and then I'm getting ready to take this hard turn left, and as I'm approaching that turn, I'm realizing that this golf cart does not have a governor on it. Okay, so I've got the pedal down full throttle, and I'm going down here, and I'm like this, and I'm getting ready to take that turn. It's kind of like when you see somebody skiing, like water skiing, and all of a sudden, you know, that's that moment where you're like, they're not going to make it, you know? So we're taking this this turn here real quick, and our cart literally goes on two wheels, and we're just like going like this for a minute, and then all of a sudden, it like slams down, and I just kind of everything stops, and I just look around like, did anybody see that, you know? I'm worried, and he is giddy. He is laughing. It is the best thing in the world for him. And so when a few years later, we were at something for a holiday, and I was like, Miles, do you remember that time that I almost killed you in the golf cart? And he was like, you didn't almost kill me. He said, Uncle Keith, I know you love me, and I know you would have saved me. I had no, and I'm looking at this kid, and in his eyes, he is like, it is absolute unadulterated trust. Like, he has no question that I would have saved whatever was going to happen there. Now, that's both adorable and extremely misguided at the same time. He almost lost his life. I mean, at best, he would have lost a limb, okay? So if we went over, there was nothing I was going to be able to do for him. But when I think of going to the cross now, that's the type of trust that I want to look at when I see the cross. And when I see the sacrifice and I see the value and how much, just how much value and love God has for me, that motivates me to do more. And so my obedience is no longer, when I view it that way, coming where I'm just trying to obey God because of the rules I'm following. When I trust God and I trust his love, that's what motivates me to be obedient. I can be obedient without trusting God, but I can't truly trust God without being obedient. And I always do better now spiritually when I think, am I trusting God right now rather than am I pleasing God right now? Those are just, you know, some thoughts that have, from a young Christian and from somebody who's been around a little bit longer, my hope is that as we take the communion this morning, that we'll be able to approach the cross with no stars or dots, let all of that away, just come as ourselves, and be able to see the sacrifice and the value that God's put in our lives, and let that motivate us to obey and motivate us to grow closer to him every day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, so much for how much you love us. It is really difficult to conceive how completely you love us and you value us. And I pray, God, that as we take the communion this morning, help us see that. Help us let go of all the things that have gone on this week, all the things that have gone on this morning, all the things that are going on this afternoon, and help us take just a moment to take a few steps forward and get on our knees and just look at you on the cross. Help us understand how deeply you love us, how much you value us. And I pray, God, that as we let go of these stars and dots that we tend to put on ourselves to make us feel better or worse about coming to you during communion, God, I pray that we can let those all fall away and we can be there as we are, knowing that you have always and you will always love us unconditionally. And we love you, God. We thank you for that love. We thank you for the example and that action that you took to allow Jesus to die on the cross, and I pray that can motivate us to love you more and grow closer to you every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.